Magic,
and the world of illusion.
Magic TV
and Craig Petty proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is almost the Blackpool Magic Convention 2024. And this last week, I've been speaking to the movers, the shakers, the dealers, the producers, the people in the dealer room that are vying to get our hard-earned money. And there is some incredible, incredible magic being released at Blackpool Magic Convention 2024. And I am super excited about who I'm going to be chatting to today. Two legends in magic right here. And you're about to learn about some of the best kept secrets in magic. You're about to learn about some magic tricks and magic routines that I guarantee you there's a good chance you will miss if you don't watch this video. And this video is going to tell you where you need to head first when you get into the dealer room. All will become clear in a second. But first of all, let me explain who I'm speaking to. The first person I'm speaking to is one of the best mentalists in the world today, as far as I'm concerned. He's written the book on mentalism and magic, and then he's written it again and again and again. He's created more magic than most people have had hot dinners. Super nice guy, and one of the most knowledgeable people I know, Mark Elston. And then the second person I'm speaking to is the person who runs an international magic studio in London, which has been a staple part of the British magical community for decades, and the place to go if you are coming to the UK and you're coming to London and you want to check out the magic scene. You have to go to International Magic. Now, Martin McMillan, who we're going to be chatting to, is an incredible creator, and he's probably somebody who you are aware of, but you might not be aware of some of the most awesome magic that he's created over the years. And we're going to be talking to Martin about that today, because it's all going to be available at the Blackpool Magic Convention. So without further ado, let me introduce my guest, Mark and Martin. How are you guys doing today? Everything okay?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Craig.
Yeah, all good. Thank you very much. Yeah, looking forward to this.
I'm a bit intimidated. I mean, I've genuinely got two legends here sitting with me today. This is crazy. And I want to, obviously, Mark, you need no introduction. Martin, you don't really need any introduction either. But I want to talk about, I want to talk for a couple of minutes about international magic and you, Martin, before we talk about what you're planning on bringing to the Blackpool Magic Convention 2024, if that's okay. Now, international magic, how long has it been going for? Because I don't even know, to be honest. I remember going there as a kid, and going to Ronsdale, you know, every single year was the highlight of my magical year. It was just amazing heading down. And I always made a trip to International Magic every single time I was in London. It feels like it's been open forever. How long has International Magic been around?
Well, it's all of my lifetime, Craig, that's for sure. It's initially started in 1958. We've been at the address we are now since 1963. So 1958, there's a couple of little moves, all within 100 yards of each other, to be honest. And 89 Clerkenwell Road, where we are now, over 60 years now at that same address.
Wow. And if people are watching this haven't actually been to the shop before, from the outside, it looks very unassuming. It's kind of like, you know, a very kind of smallish looking shop. But then you go in and it's a treasure trove. Like, I tell anybody who listens that some of the best DVDs, if you want to learn magic, are the back catalogue that you guys have. All of the, I've got every single DVD of every single competition act that's ever been put out. And those things are so inspiring. But then you've got, like, my favorite coin trick of all time is Dave Jones' reverse matrix off his coin magic DVD that you put out many, many years ago now. I mean, the amount of incredible magic that is contained just in those DVDs. Let's not talk about the tricks or the books, just in that massive selection of DVDs that you've got, it would feel several lifetimes in terms of watching it all. It's incredible.
You're correct. Yeah. And funnily enough, I'm slowly making them available as streamed, which is great fun because I'm getting a chance to go through all the DVDs again, one at a time, not exactly edit them, but put chapters in, etc. Thoroughly enjoying that. Yeah, there's stuff, it's amazing what you forget is there as well. So some of them are available now as streams, and more will bit by bit as I do.
Absolutely. And obviously, international magic is going just as strong as it was back in the day. I believe it's really, you know, with Davenport's closing a couple of years ago, it's now the only magic shop in London. Is that right? I remember when I was a kid, I would start with Davenport's, then I'd go to International Magic, and then I'd catch what felt like 15 buses to get over to Repro Magic, and I kind of just spend the day doing the rounds, and it was a wonderful time as a kid. But like, I think that International Magic is now the only magic shop in London. Is that right?
Yeah, the only brick and mortar shop. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is a dedication, in all honesty. It's not easy, but having said that, it's great. It's fun. It's great fun. Meeting the people is a huge part of running the shop.
I can imagine. And before we talk about what you're going to have at the Blackpool Magic Convention, I think you're the perfect person to speak to about this. How have things changed? You say you've been involved in that shop pretty much your whole life, which you have. How have things changed these days compared to 20, 30 years ago? Just how have you seen, as a dealer and a producer, how have you perceived things to change now?
Well, there's been tons of changes over those years, and the change now is more rapid than it used to be. Time seems to fly now, and things seem to change so rapidly that there's obviously with the internet makes a huge difference, because something comes out, everyone knows about it right away. When we were younger, something came out and we waited for the next convention to find out about it in reality. You mentioned the magic shops that used to be. Yeah, when I was young, you could spend an afternoon and walk around six magic shops. Corinda's, Davenport's, Kenbrook, Harry Stanley, etc., and us as well, and so on. Oscar Oswald, I even remember Oscar. that's going back some years. Oh. It's different. It's different now. Thank God we're still going. And to me, magic needs a magic shop. Magic needs a magic shop, it needs conventions. The internet is that we're on the internet now. It's great for magic, but it also has its downsides as well for our sort of side of things.
I completely agree. And brick and mortar shops are more valuable now than ever before. I really, truly believe that. And I've been talking exclusively to you, Martin, but in case anybody wonders, one of the reasons that Mark is on this call is Mark is probably one of the biggest supporters of International Magic that you will find. Every time I come to Blackpool, I remember last year, it was the Thursday at the Blackpool Magic Convention, and I was just like wandering around. I'd set up my booth because I've got like five things and that's it. So I'd set up my booth and I was wandering around, and Mark popped, looked over at me and he said, "You've got to come and see this." I was like, "What?" He's like, and just to be clear, when Mark Elston tells you, "You've got to come and see this," you stop what you're doing and you go and see what Mark tells you to see, because Mark's seen more magic than anybody I know. So I went over to your booth, your stand, and you pulled out this deck of cards and proceeded to fry me with one of the best things that I saw at the convention that year. Like, it was incredible. And nobody knew about it. Nobody realized what it was, because a lot of one of the things that's changed for me in these days is fancy packaging. You know, like there's so many tricks that come out now, and the packaging just makes you want to look at it before you even know what the trick is. And a lot of the times people buy it, and it's partly because of the packaging, let's be honest. And a lot of stuff that you had on your stand, there wasn't really fancy packaging. It was in It was in bags, and it was like, oh, there's this deck of cards with a sheet of instructions and a download link. And I'm like, what's this, Mark? And then you blew me away. And it's going to be one of the tricks that we were talking about on this video. You blew me away. And I do a series of videos on this channel called Hidden Gems. And the whole concept of it, Martin, is, you know, we always rush to buy the latest and greatest trick. There's so many new tricks coming out these days that, like, you almost can't see everything. It's impossible. There's so much new magic. And we gravitate to the latest trick. And we forget about the stuff that's been out for years. Mm-hmm. But the range that we're going to be talking about today that you are bringing to the Blackpool Magic Convention, I would honestly say, hand on heart, every single one of these items, which has been handpicked by Mark, Mark literally sent me the list and said, we need to talk about all of these because they're incredible. Very few people at that convention will have seen them before. Very few people would stop to look at them because they're not going to be all shiny and new and inviting. You know, it's not going to be like this fancy packaging. But I guarantee you that every single trick that we're going to be talking about is going to be as good as, if not better than, 90% of the stuff that's going to be seen at that convention this year.
You're absolutely right, Craig. I mean, coincidentally, I've got Christian Greystain with me at the moment. And last night we're out and he was showing me a new trick of his and I was showing him some stuff. And then I thought, right, I'm going to pull out the big gun. I got one of Martin's tricks out. Absolutely nailed Christian. He's like, what, is this yours? And for a nanosecond, I was tempted to say yes, but I couldn't do it. And I was like, no, sadly not. It's a Martin special. And all my friends know a Martin special means it's a Martin McMillan trick that no one knows about, but tragically knows about. So, yeah, last year I went down to Martin International. Me and Martin were talking about this. And I said, listen, I'm going to help promote this stuff for you. So, and he gave me pretty much everything he's put out. All of it's good, by the way. The ones we're going to talk about today are just my personal favourites. They're not, I'm not saying they're the best, but they are brilliant. But for me, they're my favourites. So, but there's so much great stuff. And exactly what you've said, because, you know, Martin's very much old school, as he, you readily acknowledge yourself, Martin. He just doesn't preoccupy himself with fancy packaging, marketing campaigns, hype. So what's happening, sadly, is there's these brilliant tricks languishing unperformed. I feel we owe it to our audiences. We owe it to Magic. We owe it to Martin. To do the best stuff possible. And some of the best stuff possible is International Magic, stuff created by Martin. And slowly over the last few years, he's created quite a body of work. So there's not just one or two standouts. You're going to talk about five or six, but we could talk about 10. They're stunning tricks.
And here's the thing for people watching this. You could take any one of the tricks that we're going to be talking about today and you could put it out on the market with fancy packaging and you could slap Christian Grace's name on it or Lloyd Barnes' name on it or, you know, dare I say it, my name on it, whack a fancy trailer with a lot of people screaming and shouting and it would be the biggest thing in Magic that month. It would be the thing that's a 15, 20-page thread on the Magic Cafe.
Absolutely.
It's the thing that's dominating the Facebook groups. But because it's not got that screaming reaction trailer name attached to it, it's not got any of that, a lot of people aren't aware of it. And this video is squarely to look at everybody and say, look, come over to Martin's stand, come over to International Magic and check this stuff out. Because like Mark said, we're going to be talking about six items, but there's going to be many, many more there that are just as good. So I'm really excited. And that's why I said at the very beginning, Martin, thank you for jumping on and thank you for spending the time to chat to me, because I think this video is very important.
Yeah, thank you, Craig. Thank you.
Well, we're going to get into it. So this is Mark's pick, Mark 6. And the first one I want to talk about, and I'm going to ask both of you about this, and we've got a video which we can look at in a minute. I'll talk about that in a second. But the first one is Beyond the Brainwave. So, Mark, Martin, can one of you tell me about Beyond Brainwave, please?
You go ahead, Mark.
It's just simple and blows your brains in. So basically, it's a brainwave deck effect, it seems. So name any card. So you name the card a six of spades. You go through, it's face up. You turn it over, it has a different color back. You think, so far, so okay. And then he says, oh, and by the way, of course, it's the only card in the deck. and he turns over and every face is blank. So straight away you're thinking, well, this can't be right, because even if it was 26 card pairs, even if it was, how could that be? Because it was any card can be named. So, of course, 26 card pairs would require that there's only 26 faces in the deck to make the 26 blanks available. Because it's not like on card shark thin cards or anything. It's just regular bikes. So straight away, you're like, I've literally no idea. And for me, like as a creator, I'm thinking, right, what method would I devise to achieve this effect? And I just had to think, I can't think of a method that could allow this to be happen with any named card. And so, boom, number one, Beyond Brainwave. Fantastic.
Wow. I mean,
that's a better thing than I could say about it. So that's great. Thanks, Mark.
That's Holy Grail territory right there, that is. I mean, most magicians, their Holy Grail is name a card, and it's the only card that you could possibly have picked. That's what that is. But it's layered in such a great way. You know, Brainwave is a classic for a reason. It's a classic because it just works. But then you add a blank deck kicker in. Wow. That's amazing. That's really good. We've got a video. I'm going to play that video very quickly, just so that people can see exactly what it is that we're talking about. This is Beyond Brainwave.
This is a brief demonstration of Beyond Brainwave. It's a version of a Brainwave deck or Invisible deck, but it has an added finish. And I should point out that it only uses one pack and any card can be named. It doesn't require Equivocate or anything like that. It's any freely named card. I hope you like it. So this is Beyond Brainwave. As I mentioned, it's only one pack, which is placed up before we start, and it's any freely named card. For simplicity, Perry, just name a card. It doesn't matter what one.
Six of diamonds.
Six of diamonds. Okay. The pack is removed from the box, the entire pack. And in a sense, you may think this is similar to the Brainwave deck, because we'll go through and we find a face-up card in the face-down pack. In this case, it's the six of diamonds. Again, similar to the Brainwave deck, the six of diamonds is turned over and shown to have a red back. It's placed on the table, and this is where Beyond Brainwave does change from the Brainwave deck, because we can actually turn the pack over, but in doing so, you find the cards are blank, and they really are the entire pack freely and completely shown to be blank cards.
I mean, Martin, that's just incredible. Like, how did you even come up with that? Like, what process did you go through?
Walking the dog, actually. That's when I came up with that. Which is probably the best time to come up with there or in your sleep is when I tend to dream up these things. I don't know. But that was, I'm going to hit my memory now. I'm sure it was 2020 during the COVID year time. So if we got anything out of COVID, it was a couple of these tricks came out of it because I couldn't open the shop. I couldn't do anything else. So a case of that.
Wow. That's great. I mean, we're off to a barn buster there. That is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It's the sort of thing that you could do in a parlor show. It's the sort of thing you could do close up in a close up show. You could do it in a banquet situation. You could do it walk around. Just great. Like, one of my favorite tricks of all time is the classic Brainwave. I mean, that's Brainwave taken to, yeah, just brilliant, 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 brilliant. Okay. That's the first one. And we've set the bar very high.
Don't worry. We're going to go higher. We're going higher straight away.
Now, the next one is the one that I bought last year, and I fried several of my friends with this, and I've performed it many, many gigs. And we're talking about cards at many numbers. Now, anybody who knows me knows that I've got an obsession with any card at any number, bordering on clinically, like, worrying. Like, I just love card at any number. And this is such a strange plot, and it's just, I remember watching, and the more I watched, I got more and more confused, because I think that's one of the things that I love about your magic, is that it's commercial, it works for lay people, and then some. The plots are direct, the handling is crystal clean, you don't need to be doing 55 passes or anything like that in order to accomplish the effect. But it's also the sort of thing that will fool magicians as well. And I remember standing at your booth after watching this, and me and Mark were just saying to each other, that doesn't make any sense. How would you do that? I don't know how you do that. No, I don't know how you do that either.
I mean, I was double fooled. I'll tell you why. So the effect quite quickly, and that's why both the previous one and this next one and the ones we're going to talk about after, they are kind of, there's no heavy sleights. There's no sleight of hand, really. It's all subtlety, clever design, maybe some gaffes or some of that, whatever it is. But there's no, these are beginner to intermediate and very much the beginner end. But so this trick is basically the deck of cards comes out, shuffle whatever, shown face up on the table, yeah, blah, blah, they're all mixed. Then he gives you five cards and he says, you can put these in any order you want. And so there's 120 combinations, obviously, 5 times, 4 times, 3 times, 2 times, 1. But all those 120 combinations, there's only 52 cards, so we're going to count down to them. So, and he says, these are my lucky numbers. So there's a 5 and a 3. So let's say the 5, you deal 5 cards down, and that's the first card. And then there's a 20, and you might have put the 20 next, or the 20 might be at the end. So you're stopping on 5 random cards. And then he turns the deck over again, so it could have been any ease, but it happens with these 5. He brings a prediction out of his pocket or an envelope, and it's just what could be there openly on the side from the start. Turn it over, 5 random cards. You turn over the 5 cards you've dealt to, and they are the 5 cards. So I'm immediately thinking, well, I can't, there's just not enough outs possible in a 52-card deck for there to be this many options. But then what totally fooled me was I called over to get you behind me. I think you're at Mark Mason's stand. You come across, and the same deck's in play, so he just collects the deck up. And then I don't know whether Mark was doing this on purpose to totally blow my brains in, but that was the effect. He put those number cards away, and he brought out 5 different number cards. And I went, what's going on here? He went, oh, it can work with a different set of numbers. I'm like, what? And he hadn't switched the deck. So it was the same deck. He used the same deck for me as for you, but with 5 different numbers. I'm like, what? How is... It's just not possible. And again, as a creator, I was left thinking, I just don't know how... If someone said to me, there's $100,000 waiting for you to come up with a method for this trick by tomorrow, I'd be like, well, I'm going to be down $100,000 then, because I just couldn't think. It was unfathomable. Just so good, so good.
I completely agree. Like, you could lock me, Martin, in a room for 100 years, and my only escape would be to create a trick that has any possible bearing or similarity to this, and I wouldn't be able to do it. The thinking behind it is genius. And like Mark said, again, perfect example of something that's very commercial, different outcome every single time, perfect for restaurant work. It got very easy to do. It's really strong.
Oh, thanks very much. Yeah, it's I was very pleased when I came up with it.
I love how so unassuming you are, Martin. I genuinely mean that. If I'd have come up with that, I would be ringing every magician on the planet. I'd be posting on Facebook. I'd be doing YouTube videos. I'd be screaming, I have created the cleverest and one of the best tricks of all time. And you're just like, yeah, I was quite proud of myself when I came up with that one. Should we move on now? It's brilliant. It really is. I love this trick. We're going to have a look at a performance of this one as well. So let's have a look at a performance of cards at many numbers.
There's a popular plot in Magic called Card at Any Number. And this trick is called Cards at Many Numbers. And that's exactly what it is. In the usual routine, you would have a pack of cards, 52 different cards in a random order. And the magician would predict a card at a certain number. But in this case, we've got 5 numbers, 5 different numbers here, and we've got cards at many numbers, but I'm going to predict the order that you give me those in. You can give me them in any random order, and I will deal to the card at that number. Okay. And don't forget, if you give me a different card, then I'll go to a different number, but the order you give them to me is the order I'll go for, deal to the cards.
Okay.
18. So I deal to the 18th card. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. That's the 18th card. Now give me one of the other numbers and I'll deal with 11. 11, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's the 11th card. As I say, if you give me these in a different order, then we will go to different numbers. Okay. And there's 120 combinations. So. Eight. Let's hope we get the right one today. 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's the 8th card. Another. You've got a choice of 2. Which one?
5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
and
nine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's the ninth card. So just to summarise, you gave me the cards in the numbers in this order.
Yeah.
We dealt to the cards accordingly. We have a random pack of cards here. That's the remaining cards. We're not interested in those. We're just interested in these five cards. And if we haven't, do you play poker?
Yeah.
If you were playing poker, that would be a pretty good hand in poker, Marco. Yeah.
Full house.
That's a full house. But we're not playing poker today. We're doing a magic trick. And I have five cards in the wallet. Only five cards. Nothing else in the wallet. And that makes that a pretty good magic trick.
Well done.
Simply brilliant. I'm telling you right now, if there's somebody here, you know, you could easily take that trick and layer it with your own presentation and enter the majority of club competitions and win. If you wanted to enter your club competition and you wanted to blow away all the judges and magical content and everything, this is just something that is very entertaining, but also just completely baffling. It's just great. But I want to talk about another one now, because you said to me off camera before we started, before Martin even joined this chat, you said to me, we're going to talk about the best out of this world of all time.
Yeah.
And that's the next one we're going to be talking about, My World. Now, that is a big claim. I love Out of This World. And if anybody else said that they'd seen the best any Out of This World at all time, I'd be like, okay. But I'm talking to Mark Elston here. You know your stuff. You've probably seen more Out of This World than I will ever do. So I trust you on this one.
This is another moment where I was like, no, wait a minute, this can't be real. So the last time that happened with Out of This World was Michael Murray showed me his version, which starts, it's a start, we're not going to get into a big discussion of that, but it starts off with take out your own deck, turn half them face up, riffle shuffle them together, and shuffle them some more, and now I'm going to do Out of This World. How can you do that from a borrowed shuffle deck mixed up face up and face down? So that was the last time I got badly fooled by Out of This World. But Martin's, it's just so simple. Basically, deck of cards is shuffled. You take out one red and one black. Okay, so they're just, and they're kind of in a column rather than in a row. And he says, oh, this top card, you think it's black? Yes, boom. There's next one, red. Okay, and he's just putting them in like a little row next to the card. And at no point there's a false deal, a missed deal. No point is there any equivoke. There's no kind of verbal control. It's a free choice, completely free choice by the participant of where they place each card. And then, but you don't do the whole deck. You say, well, stop anytime you want. So halfway through, the stop. Cool, rest of the cards put down. Say, okay, well, there's only one thing to do. So straight away, I'm thinking, come on now. There's got to be some switch or move. No, just the cards, the face-up red card takes all the face-down cards, turns them over, all red. Black cards, turns them face-up, all black. Thank you for coming. Read them and weep. And again, I'm like, what? I was waiting for something to happen which is going to accomplish the method. Nah, too late. Already beat you to it. There was nothing to see, and you still missed it. That's so good.
I love that. And what I especially love about it is my favorite type of Out of This World is when you don't use a full deck. I think the sweet spot is around about halfway, because at that point, people have got it. Okay, right, fair enough. I love the idea of just having them deal whenever they want to stop, and then just turning them over. That's smart. That's really smart. Wow. That's great, Martin. That's awesome.
Yeah, and again, everyone should know about this trick. There should be no discussion of magicians on the planet talking about Out of This World where this doesn't come up in the conversation. So, you know, I'm hoping following this interview, this video, and then massive success sales-wise at Blackpool, that, you know, this should be in the mix always. No one who performs this trick should either not, they should only be not doing this version because stylistically they prefer something else. Because this is as strong as it gets. This is an absolute fooler.
What was your starting point with this, Martin? There's so many wonderful versions of Out of This World.
It was, again, I think it was Walking the Dog again. I can't remember when. But it was really just to try and come up with an Out of This World where we didn't have to do the crossover. And also, I'm with you on this, Craig, also. My preference on Out of This World is not to use the whole deck anyway. There are times when that does suit, but overall, I think it can make it too long a routine. But
I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes my mind just wanders off, and I start more than anything thinking about what I want to do, and then trying to work out a way of doing it. I guess we all do that, don't we?
Yeah, but you just do it better than most other people.
Thank you. Very kind of you.
It's very true. We're going to have a look at a video of this. So this is a video performance of My World.
One of the greatest tricks of the 20th century was Paul Curry's Out of This World. Since then, there have been many versions of it, and I'm happy to show you my new version, which I call My World. It consists of a pack of cards. And we're going to deal cards down onto the table in two piles. You'll be familiar with this, no doubt. It's a rip one. Barry, in a moment, I'm going to ask you for colours.
Okay.
And if you feel it's a black card, which this one is, I've just looked, you put what goes on this pile. If you feel it's a red card, which that is, it goes on the red book. So,
okay.
In other words, you tell me what you think it is. That one's a red as well. but the next one, I'd like you to tell me, but without looking, what do you think? Is it black or is it red?
Black.
It's black. So it goes on the black pile. The next one, black or red?
Black.
Black again. On the black pile.
Black.
Next one. So black again. Okay.
Red.
Red. On the red pile.
Red.
Red.
Black.
Black.
Red.
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 Black.
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 Black again.
Red.
Red. Well, we're dealing basically cards going through the pack. We can go as far as we like. Do you want more cards or do you want to stop there? Whatever
stop
you want.
There.
You sure? You yeah. can go a few more if you want.
No.
No?
Stop
okay.
there.
In the usual version, we would change the order and so on of the cards. In my world, we'll just turn them over and have a look. This was the black pile. That's the black cards. Well, there's a black card there. This is the red pile. And there's a red pile, a red card there. And if this has worked, we should have some red cards. Actually, we do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 red cards. And there really are 8 red cards. All cards are shown both sides. There's nothing else there. If that's worked, then these hopefully will be all black. And there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cards. 7 cards, I was going to say. Again, all blacks and all dealt directly into the black pile. I hope you like My World.
I mean, you guys have just seen it. It's as good as Mark said. It's, if not better. That's just brilliant. Honestly, I'm beginning to think now that I should just change my parlor act to these 6 tricks. That's it. You know, I'm going to throw out all the other crap and I'm just going to do this. It's just amazing. Some of these things I haven't talked about, like I haven't seen. And it's annoying me because I'm one of the big advocates on the internet for like delving into the history books and looking at hidden gems. The pride of my magic collection is I've got leather bound every single edition of Abracadabra from the very first one to the very last one, bound in leather volumes by year, immaculate. And my favorite thing to do in an evening when my wife's gone to bed and I'm not tired is to go down to my study and just literally pick one up off the shelf, open it up. And I always learn something that like from the 1960s and the 1950s, I love delving into magic I haven't seen before. So I'm kind of annoyed with myself, the amount of times that I've been to International Magic and I've not seen most of these before. I'm frustrated with myself. This is brilliant, Martin. It really is.
I'm with you on the Abra thing, by the way. Great, great history of magic there every week. That was what an achievement.
It was amazing how they managed to bring it out every week for so long. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And yeah, there's so many hidden gems. So many hidden gems that, you know, nobody even knows about. It's just wonderful. Okay. I don't even know what this next one is, Mark. So you're going to have to enlighten me. It's called Sterling.
This is the one that kind of started me on the Cult of Martin, because this is the one that fooled me first a couple of years ago. It's another prediction trick, but it's completely different to the others. And it's a kind of plot that I like. So shuffle deck. Boom, boom, boom. 5 coins. So it would work with the euros, or I mean, Martin's obviously using, and I use British coins. So you'll have 1p, a 5p, a 1p, a 2p, a 5p, a 10p, and a 20 pence. And the participant puts them out in any order. And then there's no control, no equivoque, no, literally it's a genuinely free choice. And then you say, okay, do you want to start dealing from that end or this end? Because that's fine. So let's say the first coin is a two pence piece. They deal two cards down, so they've got the deck. And then the next card's a 5p, but remember, it could be the 20 next or the 10 next. So say it's a 5, they deal 5 cards, and then 1 card, then 20 cards, then 10 cards. So random cards. Who knows what, where, you know, it could have been any variation. And then, boom, you bring out a photo. It's a photo. You could be on your phone, so you could have just posted it on Facebook 10 minutes ago. You can do it any which way you want. And then you turn over the cards, and they're the cards. It's the 5 cards in the run, you know, in a shuffle deck that they've dealt coins in any order. They've somehow, in the order they put the coins, dealt down. So again, you're thinking, well, wait a minute, it's too many possibilities. Because if the one card's got to be available at 10th and 10th, but then once you start dealing, let's say the ace of spades, it's got to be at the first position, there's got to be an ace at the first position and the second position and the 5th and the 10th and the 20th at the start. But wait a minute, what if it's dealt second? So it's now also got to be at the 3rd, and there's just too many combinations. There's not enough, the deck's not long enough for the possible combinations to have that many cards in. So yeah, again, you're just like, stop thinking about it and just buy it. It's just brilliant.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
It seems utterly impossible.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Wow.
And quick question for you, Martin, because a lot of people watch this channel from other countries as well. And a lot of Americans obviously come to Blackpool every year that will be watching this before they come over. Is this something that would work with their currency, or is this something that is exclusively for sterling?
No. Initially in my head, that's why I called it sterling, because I did the 5 coins, the 5 British coins. Americans don't have a 2, and this is a penny, 2, 5, 10, and a 20. There's two things they do. One, you could just write bits of paper if you want, but I do prefer the coins. Another thing, of course, is to take various coins from various countries. So you have a British coin, an American coin, and so on.
Oh, I like that idea. Yeah, that's great.
And the other thing I did, I actually made little poker chips with numbers on them for them. So if anyone doesn't want to use the currency, they've got 5 poker chips with numbers on them.
You've thought of everything, haven't you? That's great. That's awesome. I obviously am about to watch the performance, but like that doesn't, like Mark said, that doesn't seem possible. It seems like the combination of, it just doesn't seem like, again, I would be remiss if I had you on this channel and didn't ask you, can you give us any advice on creating, like somebody that's created all of this magic? Like, please don't just say you walk the dog, because I get that's part of it, but there's got to be something else. Like, as a creator, like I'm blown away by this. Like, do you have any advice for people that are trying to create?
I think I think we're all going to be different here, but I find it very hard to force myself to create. You know, you sit down and say, I want to do something today, and I'll go through the day, and nothing will come out of it. I would imagine the biggest thing, clear your mind. You know, if I clear my mind of or sometimes I've got a lot on my mind and I want to just get rid of that and go and think about magic. So I'll just go and focus on this. And so then what I tend to do is come up with an effect first, if I can, or even just, you know, another thing, read a book, get influenced by it. You know, you're going for a book and you think, oh, what a nice idea. And you don't do anything like that idea. You go off at a tangent and you come up with something totally different. With sterling, when I came up with that, I know it was a sleepless night, that one. And I was trying to do it. I just want, let's do a coin trick. My head was going on a coin trick. I don't know why. I then transferred over to the, I actually worked it out in a couple of hours. Then I went to sleep. Having done that, I fell asleep. That was it. Fortunately, I remembered it. The next morning on the train going to London, I wrote it down. When I got to London, I put it together. And I remember showing it to someone in the shop
there, because I didn't. That's the other thing. I do this, well, for me anyway. I did that trick, and I think, well, will everyone? Will it be obvious? Will it be a good trick, or so on? So I need to get that initial response. And that day, I showed it to two people and got a great response. I thought, well, I'm pleased with this now, and carried on from there. But I can't believe I worked it out in a night, though. By the way, it's a complex trick, and
That's the sort of thing that would have took me, well, if ever, like, weeks to think through, like not one night, and then remembering it on the train to London. That's crazy.
Yeah, I wrote it down on the train, but it was in my head the next morning, and I just wanted to check it worked, and that was a bit of paper. Good use of a train journey. I have about an hour to get to London, so it was good use of the train journey. I wrote the thing out and put it together when I got to work.
That's great. That's brilliant. Let's have a look at a performance of this. So this is Sterling.
Sterling, a trick with a pack of cards, five coins and a prediction. Marco, I'm going to jumble these up, put them out in an order. If I take them again and give them another mix, it will be a different order. That's because the chance of getting the same order twice is about 17,000 to 1. So if you manage to do that, we should do the lottery today.
Okay.
But I'm going to give you the coins. Jumble them up, put them out any order you like. Doesn't matter. Whatever you, order you choose, we'll go with that. You happy? Do you want to mix them around in any way?
Yes, I do. I'm going to change that.
Okay. Finished? Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I won't change the order, but I will mix them, move them apart a little bit more. The pack of cards I'm not going to touch throughout this trick. Would you take hold of the pack of cards? I'm going to ask you to deal with some cards. Before you start, you've got two more choices. Would you like to move any coins around now?
No.
Would you like to start this end, or would you like
I'm
to start?
I'm going to start at that end.
Okay. In that case, there's a penny there. So in front of that penny, face down on the table, deal one card. This one's a 20 pence piece. So face down on the table there, a pile of 20 cards. That's lovely. It's 5 pence, so a pile of 5 cards in front of that. There's a 2 pence piece, so 2 cards. I'm sure you're ahead of me, there's a 10 pence. That's lovely, I'll take them off you. Now you had the choice of the order. You could have chosen any order you like there. It's a random order. Right. Prediction's been out all the time. Would you turn over the top card of this pile? Top one card, okay. Top card of this pile. And the top card of this pile. Likewise. And the final top card. That's great. That was a random order of coins.
It was.
You dealt the cards. And there's the prediction. This is Sterling in the Roll Flush version. It involves a pack of cards, 5 coins. Would you take the coins, jumble them up, put them in a row, any order you like?
There we are.
Okay, you're happy with that order?
I am.
I'm just going to move them apart a little bit. I won't change the order. And if you think I've done any funny business, by all means, mix them up a bit more.
No, I'm happy.
You're happy. Will you take hold of the pack of cards, Mark?
All right.
You're going to deal some cards. You have a choice here. Do you want to start this end or do you want to start this end?
I'll start this end this time.
Okay. It's a 20 pence piece, so face down on the table, a pile of 20 cards. Lovely. This is a penny, so just one card. Face
right.
10 pence, so 10 cards. And that's a 2 pence, so 2. And the final 5 cards. That's great. Now you had a choice of putting them coins out in any order. That was a random order, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you turn over the top card of this pile?
It's an ace.
It's a spades. Turn over, this is a single card, so turn that card. Ooh. King, that's good. Top card? Ace, king, queen. You can see what we need. Would you turn over the top card of the last two piles? A jack. A royal flush. I'm certainly not going to play cards with you.
Okay, I mean, wow. Wow. That's all I can say. Wow. Yeah, it's as good as Mark said, and then some. Okay, let's talk about the next one, Mark. This sounds like a gambling-style routine, double flush.
Double flush. This is the thing I smoked Christian with last night, and I'll be smoking everyone at Blackpool with it. Anyone who hasn't seen this, will be getting this perform for them. So it's like the power of poker thing. You have two packets of cards, in this case, a couple of royal flushes, clubs and diamonds. And then normally in this kind of trick, then the cards are put out in pairs, the participant picks one for themselves, you get one. And then you put out two cards and they pick one for themselves and the other one goes to the bottom of the packet. Then you deal two more off the top, one for you. And it feels very procedural. What I like about this, Christian's eyes were just widening as I was doing the procedure of the deal out, because you go straight away, you think, wait a minute, this can't be happening. So what happens is the cards are shuffled. You show the two flushes openly, and you shuffle them together, overhand shuffle them, and there is no false shuffle. You are genuinely shuffling them together. You take out two cards and say, okay, one's for me, one's for you. The participant picks the one he wants. He can swap. It's a completely free choice. And then every time it's just the same way. You put out two more cards. You go, one of these is for me, one's for you. Which one do you want? Do you want to swap? And literally, you just, whatever they say, you slide theirs to them, yours to you. So then third choice, fourth choice, fifth choice. There's no putting them to the bottom of the packet and dealing two more, or false deals or readjustments. They're just dealt out and they pick what they want. And you go, great. So, which do you prefer, diamonds or clubs? And they say diamonds. You go, great. And you just turn over the hand immediately and it's the royal flushing diamonds in order. And you turn yours over and it's the royal flushing clubs in order. And it's just that simple. You just straight away, everything you know about how that trick is done as a magician, whether you're doing the Solomon one, the Bannon one, the original Elmsley one, the Stephen Tucker one, there's a million versions. All of them don't matter anymore because this version exists.
That's not possible.
Absolutely, it's not possible. And yet, there you go. That's exactly what happens.
I love the sort of 10 card poker deal style routine. I really do. Like, and you are right. There is a level of procedure that you have to justify through presentation.
Yeah.
That just sounds. I'm trying to think how you'd even approach that.
Absolutely. This is the ones that when I was talking to you previously, where I was thinking if you put this out or I put this out or Rick Lax put this out on Penguin, let's say, it would be at the top of the Penguin charts for months. It would just be, they just couldn't put them out fast enough. It's just so good. And yet, sadly, although we don't want to keep harping on about it, it sat unheralded in a draw in Martin's shop in London. And I want to get it out of that draw in London and into as many repertoires as possible. It's just the best version of this trick extant, and anyone who does or is interested in this plot needs to be doing this version and just binning everything else off. It's that good.
Christian, are the cards regular or are they? Are gimmicks included as well?
They are gimmick, but they very freely shown. There's no dodgy rough and smooth going on, or you know. This trick and the next trick, particularly sadly, this trick and the next trick are like packet tricks that a beginner could put in their pocket. Someone who's new to magic, only been doing magic a little while, wants to do some killer tricks, you know, they can do this and the next one, which are very simple to do. You can just keep them in your wallet and you're good to go.
Martin, have you ever written a book?
No.
Why not? Like, why not?
Actually, I mean, people have asked me for reminiscing sort of things, and I guess it's back to time. I would like to. I'd love to write a book. We publish books. We've got Dominic Tuzer's book, Andrew Galloway's books, the Campbell Legacy, which are they're all great books. There's some great books there. I've also got to. And that's taken my time on book writing, by the way. Billy Day was an old time magician. I keep meaning to, and it's nearly ready, his book, a book he published back in the 70s, it must have been. 70s, yeah, late 70s.
What's his name? Sorry, Martin.
Billy Day.
Billy Day.
He came up with various kiddies routines. A lot of people known for Spot the Dog. Spot the Dog was one of his. Lovey Duck. Right. All that type. There's all sorts of. But he was a great performer, very good thinker, and a book he put out called The Chatsby. But I know he only duplicated a few of them. But that will. It's all typed up. It's nearly ready, and I've just got to finish it off. And this is back to time, you know. Also, we've got the Ramsey books coming out as well, and they're well underway now, and they'll be lovely. For me, yeah, I do make notes at times, Craig, but getting down to a book, I don't know. Will it ever happen?
On the behalf of the magic community, please make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because not only,
I'll just leave a load of notes. Someone else can do it one day after I'm gone.
but it's not just about the tricks, the stories that you could tell and the advice that you could give in a book. You know, you've seen it all, bought the T-shirt, sold the T-shirt, bought it again. Like, you've been there, done that. Like, it wouldn't just be a book of tricks. The tricks would be amazing, as we can see from this interview, but there'd be so much more to it as well.
Well, my life, I've been fortunate. You know, I grew up in a lot of people come into magic in their, they get a magic set, they become, they get interested, they do magic. Some see a trick performed in their teens and so on, and some later in life. But I'm fortunate, I grew up in magic. I knew, I was watching, I guess I see magic from a different angle as a child, because I would see the method quite often before I saw the trick. I saw a thumb tip before I saw what it did, if that makes sense. I saw a little slide for putting a coin into the center of a ball of wool or whatever, before I saw the actual effect working, which is great. In one sense, I don't have that, how the hell is that done on those fantastic methods. In another sense, I see the amazement of other people, and I just love the cleverness of them. So I do like that side of it. And I'm fortunate. I grew up, I didn't have a magic set. My first magic trick, I have no idea what it was, because everyone who'd come around the house when I was a kid would be most likely a magician. It's been a wonderful life. I'm quite fortunate.
Yeah, I mean, very few people get that kind of start.
You've got it with Ryland now. You see, he's growing up in.
As you were saying that, I was thinking this is exactly like Ryland. He's been brought up meeting magicians,
it's a fantastic thing. You know, it's very fortunate. It's great.
Lucky boy.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, I really hope you do write a book, Martin. I really do. Let's have a look at Double Flush very quickly. So we'll look at a performance of that. And then I want to talk about the final one, because this sounds really interesting. Let's have a look at Double Flush first of all.
Double Flush, a trick using two sets of cards. Both of these are poker hands, actually. One is a poker hand, a very good poker hand, a roll flush in diamonds. This is a roll flush in clubs. And we're going to mix these together. Just a little shuffle up. Having done so, I'm going to choose two cards. I'll put that one and that one. Marco, would you choose one of those two cards for yourself, one for me?
Okay. I'm going to have that one.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
And then I'll have this one. Right. Let's go again. Two cards. That one and that one.
I'm going to have that one again.
That for you?
Yeah.
This is for me. It's a free choice. It doesn't matter. You'll always get whatever you choose.
I'm going to have that one this time.
Okay. I need a couple of cards left. I'm going to put that down and see what you go for.
I'm going to have that one. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Right. Well, we're going that way. One for you, one for me.
I have that one for me.
In that case, that one's for me. Do you have a preference, Marco, clubs or diamonds?
Clubs. Clubs.
Very good. That's because I've got the Royal Flush in diamonds, and you must, of course, have the Royal Flush in clubs.
Okay, so that was incredible. Absolutely incredible. But now we're on to the final one of Mark's picks. And again, I say the final one of Mark's picks, but there's going to be a ton of other magic you can go and see Martin perform if you go over to the booth. Or even, I say go over to the booth, because obviously we're talking about the Blackpool Magic Convention right now. But if you're a magician and you ever find yourself in London, and maybe you're going to the Circle and you can get there a few hours earlier, head on down to Clerkenwell Road, because you can see this stuff live and in person. You know, you don't have to just see it at the Blackpool Magic Convention. And, you know, we're in a very unique position, a very rare position, where there's an incredible creator of magic here that has a shop. And if you want to go and see this, you know where you need to go. It's just one tube and a 5-minute walk, and then you're there. But the last
one... on Mondays at the moment, Craig. So...
Well, not Mondays. Okay, that's no, useful to know.
I always plan on we're going to do one a month Mondays. It's it just gives me a longer weekend, you know, to have Sunday and Monday off.
That makes sense. Totally makes sense. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
Saturday.
Yeah. Saturday. Perfect. So the last one, Mark, can card you talk craze. About yes. card craze? Yeah.
So basically, this is a kind of thing that it reminds me of a trick that would have been popular in like the 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, before we called it close-up magic, this kind of stuff we love were called pocket tricks. You know, before the kind of formal close-up magic was coined, and we all say I'm a close-up guy or whatever, stand-up cabaret, whatever. But this is a perfect pocket trick, basically. And it feels a bit like a puzzle, but it's not. It's a killer trick. You bring out two jumbo cards, and they're cut into thirds. And then they are mixed and the participant puts them in any order they want face down. So, of course, there's multiple options. The cards could both be correct. So let's say you've got the nine of diamonds and the six of clubs. When you turn them over, the nine of diamonds could all be in that. It could be in order. The right pieces could be in order. And they're always laid out correctly. So you do, you know, you first two pieces go down, which have the corners on. Then the middle bit, obviously, you can tell cut with no corners, just towards sharp edges. So that the cards are, they do look exactly like cards. But they could be, or there could be two bits of a nine and a six, but the bit of the six could be in the middle, or it could be the top, or it could be the bottom. So there's multiple variations. And so you just set them out. And of course, you're thinking it's going to be that somehow they're correct. It's all the nine here and all the six here. It's not. So that the top piece of the nine, the top third is the six of clubs. And then the bottom third of the six of clubs is the nine. And then again, on the table as a prediction, you turn it over, it's 100% correct. But there's no equivoque, there's no outs, there's only one prediction. It just looks absolutely insane. So it's a shortened version, I suppose, of something like Sterling, where it's a five-way selection with a deck of cards. But this is just six pieces of two jumbo cards cut up that you can just put in your top pocket. Again, you know, Martin provides it with a printed prediction, but that could easily be on your phone or in today's Facebook post or on whatever. It could be any way you want on social media. Or you could text it to the participant beforehand if you wanted. No outs, always guaranteed to work. Super simple. Again, perfect beginner trick, you know. But beginner trick, that's going to fool everybody you ever show it to.
That sounds really good. That sounds really good. I love the whole kind of magician in trouble type scenario there where... You know, you think that you've got, you think you know where it's going to go and then it's completely wrong. But then you call back to a prediction that was put out at the beginning. The prediction matches. That's great. That's really good. What was your inspiration for that, Martin, if you don't mind me asking?
That was when I was suffering with COVID. We're going back to the COVID time. I had COVID. Again, it's taking your mind off of the problem of coughing and blowing your nose and all that sort of thing. I wish I could say, Craig, that I'll just pluck something out of the air and do it. I don't know. My mind starts wandering. For me, this is how it works. My mind starts wandering. I just start putting something together for no reason, and it, like I say, quite often it isn't what I set out to do is the final thing. It takes a complete tangent, and I drop whatever it was I was initially doing and go off at the tangent. I wanted to do a little prediction with the cut up card, so the cut up card came into my mind. I went for initially the various outs that I know I could have an out there, and so there was initially a method which I wasn't happy with, but it was a solution for what I wanted to do. And then I just kept eliminating. I didn't want the outs. I wanted to get rid of them and eliminate, and then somehow, that's what came out of it.
That's amazing. I mean, one thing I want to ask you, that I've spoken to a lot of creators, and the big problem that a lot of creators have is finding the initial inspiration, not necessarily the creative of in terms of coming up with the method or anything like that, but the initial inspiration. They just sit there for hours going, right, I'm going to create a trick. What should it be? Like, I've listened to you talk about these wonderful routines, and sometimes you've said, hey, I wanted to do an out of this world, but I wanted to eliminate the switching of the packets, and it's, hey, I wanted to do this sort of prediction, but I wanted this to happen. Like, do you have, I know we've talked about the creative process, but do you have any advice on finding inspiration behind the initial thought before going down sort of the creative route?
Oh gosh. I would say take some tricks that you like and try and follow some things that you like and just play with them. Play with them. Yeah. And like I say, if you give it the time and you, quite often you'll put something aside and go back to it an hour or two later and something's happened in that time. Your mind has subconsciously worked on it without you knowing, and you just go off at a different tangent. I think what works for me that isn't going to work for everyone else, and I wish I could put my finger on it and say that's how to do it. If I could do that, I'd be coming up with things every day, but I can't. But it's a great feeling when you do it, you know it yourself, when you suddenly you solve this problem and wow, that's great. And your mind eases and off you go.
I think that's really good advice there. You know, solve this problem. I think that's kind of sums up creativity in a way, isn't it? Like you have a problem in front of you, there's no solution. And you just sit there and you ponder it and until you come up with a solution that you're happy with.
Yeah.
You know, I've never looked at creating that way, but it's problem solving, I suppose. That's great. Let's have a look at a performance of that. We'll have a look at a performance of Card Craze. This is the video. Let's have a look at that right now.
This is Card Craze. It's a trick with two jumbo cards, but they've been cut into pieces. So two jumbo cards that have been to the guillotine. And a prediction which is in the wallet. We'll come to that in a moment. First of all, I'll mix these up a little bit. The two cards get mixed up together. And the idea is, let's get two outside pieces. There we go. Those two pieces are going to go down. We're going to make a playing card up with these two, Marco. Now, I don't know if you were following my little mix-up earlier, but do they go down like this or do they go down like this? You choose.
Like that. Not the other way.
Like that. That's it, yeah. Okay. And next comes the next two pieces, which are the middle pieces. And I'll mix them around a little bit as well. Do they go like this or like this? We're going to make up two playing cards. The first one? Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Yep. And the final. Actually, I'll put these behind my back. You won't even stand a chance of following the handing mix up then. Do they go like this or like this?
The other way. Like this.
Like this. Well, I think you've done pretty well there. That's a perfect two playing cards. Now comes my prediction. I'm going to have a look. Get my glasses on. And you won't believe it, but I did actually predict that you'd make up two playing cards. Isn't that good? I'm kidding, of course. Let's see how we did on the other side. We have one, two more. We spread them out. Not too well, actually, Marco. That's two pieces of a six and an ace. Two pieces of an ace and a six. But you may notice that my prediction was entirely correct.
Oh, well done.
That's it. Everything left for examination. There's only one prediction, and it's 100%.
I mean, wow, Mark. Yeah, you're right.
simple trick. Stick it in your pocket, ready to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Got the vibe of a puzzle, the punch of a trick. Win.
Every single one of those. Every single one of them would blow people away. Like every single one of them is just unbelievable. Well, I mean, come on. when you're talking about fooling Christian Grace, who is now considered to be, you know, one of the best creators on the planet right now, you know, and you're blowing him away, that says it all, really, you know.
Absolutely. And we haven't even talked about, you know, Curry and Chips and 3TL and, you know, some of the other great stuff as well. These are just, as I say, my personal favorites. Your mileage may vary. There are other tricks which are equally as good as this, which just don't, for whatever reason, appeal to me as much as these ones. But, you know, these are just six of a repertoire that is worth studying, without a doubt.
Martin, this was an incredible chat. And Has certainly, well, the first thing I'm going to do, I get to come in on Thursday because I'm setting my booth up, which takes me about 0.5 seconds. So then I'm just going to come down and just pick up all of these. And then I'm going to probably stay there and pick up everything else as well. This is incredible. So for people, are you in the same spot as last year?
No, they've moved things around this year. Okay. They've closed off the line where we normally are. For those who know the convention where we're on against the back wall, that's not being used to my knowledge this year. So we're a bit further along. So you'll come into the ballroom that we're in, walk along. There's Mark Mason on your right as you're going along. We're about 3-4 past Mark. Everyone goes to Mark, so you know where Mark is. On.
Yeah.
We're about 3-4 past him on the right. So new spot for us, but that'll be fine. I'm looking forward to it.
And if people aren't coming to the Blackpool Convention, obviously, we talked about international magic. You're open on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
It is very easy to get to. It's, which tube is it, Farrington?
We've got, my thing is showing me that the battery's running low, so I hope that lasts out. Farrington or Chancery Lane are our two nearby stations.
And then just a 5-minute walk from there. And you do, obviously, your shop, you ship worldwide from...
Yeah, we send it. You can order it from the website. I wish I was better on the website type things, but I do my best.
But you can go on the website, you can see everything on there, there's
you
video.
Can
you can buy stuff on the website, and you can order online, and Martin ships worldwide. Your batch is running low, so I'm going to wrap this up, but I want to say thank you to both you and Mark. Thank you to you, Martin. I know you're very busy. I know you're preparing for the Blackpool Magic Convention, and I know you don't do things like this very often. I want to say thank you so much for coming on here and chatting to me and enlightening me, and I genuinely am going to be coming over to you. I'm going to be pushing Mark Elston out of the way to get to you before him, because I know he's your personal call as well. And Mark, I want to say thanks for arranging this as well, because if it wasn't... this wouldn't have happened. So, and thanks for the suggestions and the list of tricks that we've talked through. They're absolutely amazing. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Craig. Much appreciated.
No, thanks, Mark. Thanks, Craig. And look forward to seeing you both again next week.
Absolutely. And guys, do me a favor, leave a comment down below. Let Mark and Martin know what you thought. And please, 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 if you got nothing else from this video, go over to the International Magic Stand at Blackpool. It's not going to be the biggest, flashiest one. You're not going to be going up to, it's not going to look like a bouncy castle like Vanishing Ink, but it's the one you want to go to definitely first, because there's going to be some incredible magic there, as hopefully you've seen in this video. So on behalf of Mark Elston, on behalf of Martin McNeil, start again, on behalf of Martin McMillan, thank you so much for checking out this video, and we will see you again in Blackpool. Thanks very much, and Martin, Mark, thanks for coming on.
Cheers, bye bye.
Cheers, Craig. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be
magic.
Sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.